morning, Buck Gunners. It is Tuesday, September 10th, 2019. I am Dan Rubin. This is the Buck Nuts Morning 5 and Change. If it's Tuesday, that can mean only one thing. The lovely and talented Dwayne Long joins us. Dwayne, very good news this morning. Ironton linebacker Reed Carrico, arguably the best linebacker in the state, has committed to Ohio State this morning. A wonderful way to start the day. How are you doing, and what do you think of the addition of the latest Buckeye?
Oh, I'm doing great with this news. This is just, I'm ecstatic. When we end this call, I'm going to do a naked jaunt because this kid is just, we talked about Kate Stover and how he dominated smaller school competition. So does Reed Carrico. Same old people will say, well, I don't know about that level of competition. Yeah, well, what did he do to it? He destroyed it. He just watches film. I mean, we talk about linebacker. This kid could be a running back. He is outstanding running back. There's a time when he would have been the number one fullback in the country, back when that mattered, having a fullback. The kid's just, where is he going to play? Wherever he wants. Just get him here. Probably a linebacker. But, he's just a super athletic kid, just a great football player, very physical, runs over top of people, and then after he runs over the first guy, he outruns the rest of them. Just so impressive. Just sit back and enjoy his film. Linebacker, I'm seeing him do things just instinctively. I was watching so many plays where they were trying to throw little quick long handoffs and flip screens out there on him. He's rushing the passer, blitzing, and still getting out and making a tackle on those kind of plays. A natural, instinctive football player with physical tools, five-star, no doubt in my mind.
Class of 2021, Jack Sawyer, Kyle McCord, Ben Christman, and Jaden Ballard in the class. He's the, according to 24/7 sports rankings, he's the number one inside linebacker in the country, yet he's the fifth-rated guy in our class out of five so far, so that lets you know the kind of group they're putting together. He is a stud, offers from Clemson, offer from Alabama, one of the best players in the country, just a foundational piece to get from inside of the state, so a wonderful way to start your Tuesday. I think everyone who follows recruiting probably expected Carrico to hop on board. Bill Kerlick mentioned, having gone seen him this past weekend, that Carrico was also interested in Kentucky, which is nearby, but Ohio State doesn't recruit against Kentucky. So Clemson was in the mix. Like we said, offers from Alabama, Ohio State, and Clemson. That means you probably are a pretty good football player. Very impressive. Great way to start the day. And the class of 2021 is coming together unbelievably. When you add a kid with a 95 rating and your overall group rating goes down, you know you've gotten off to a great start. All right, let's talk recruiting in the class of 2020 before we get to what went on this past weekend. The topic of the day, the topic of every day, it seems, with this class is running back recruiting now. Dwayne, I'm going to give you the guys that they still have on the board, I think. Then you're going to tell me the two running backs you think they're going to take or the two running backs you hope they get, to put it that way. Keontae Bradford, Michael Drennan, Henry Parrish, E.J. Smith, and Jahmyr Gibbs. Pick two from that group. Go off the board if you need to, but tell me the two running backs you want Ohio State to add to the class of 2020.
Bradford is the one that just, if I had to pick one, it would be him. He's the kid that's most impressive, and I would say E.J. Smith. Those two, the one thing that I like about them is just solid bodies. These are kids that are still pretty lean. They can add some weight, and they're still going to be just as fast, have just as much shake and bake and make things happen. Those are the two. The others are nice backs. They would be good gets. I don't think we're going to have a bad one. The thing that, we got to get away from, and with me at the top of the list, is we're not getting Bijan Robinson. That was just so crazy that we did not get him. And he's one of those few bell cows to come out every year. So we got to get over that and move forward. And getting those two guys, I think that would be a really nice running back class. You know, when you stop looking at what we didn't get and look at what we got, I think you get a different perspective. But those two stand out to me, like I said, the physical characteristics matter a great deal. And the good frame on those kids that they can get in with Mick and add 10 pounds, maybe 15, good weight, not just adding weight. That doesn't help. You know, put on some good muscle weight. It'll be nice back for us in the future.
Dwayne and I do these pick-and-choose type questions a lot. We don't discuss it ahead of time. Those are the two backs that I would take as well. I also like the idea of getting another two guys out of Texas and keeping those pipelines fresh and keeping Tom Herman cranky. We're going to take a quick commercial break and be back to talk about the glorious W over the Bearcats.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
And we're back. Dwayne, you do a long view after every game. It's premium. It's on the boards. You guys have to subscribe to read it. Now you've had a couple days to soak it all in. Put in context what you said about the Buckeyes and what you thought about the game now that we've had a few days to think about it.
Well, I still come back to the one thing that stood out to me when the game was over. I sat down and cleared my head a little bit and thought about it, and complete game. That's what comes back to me. What looked weak? I don't think there was. I mean, you know, in all three phases, Ohio State was absolutely dominant. And if not for a penalty on a really dumb penalty, bad call as far as I'm concerned on the first series of the game, we would have scored a touchdown there. And then on the third series, we shot ourselves in the foot. But other than that, you really can't look at this game and say, well, we need to work on this, we need to work on that. Every unit performed in this game. So, you know, that is the one thing that stands out. And then you got Drew Chrisman getting Big Ten Special Teams Player of the Week. So it was just an all-around performance, and trying to come back to one game where the Buckeyes performed across the board this well, it's been a while. And you got a better opponent, and that's something I got to say something about. We were – a thread started right after the rankings came out again and the Buckeyes dropped. And Bucknut Diablo said this. He said, it's week two. What are we worried about? And I agreed with that. But I thought, it's week two. We're not even in conference schedules. We're worried about the rankings this early. No. But you know what, Dan? It's still irritating. LSU was the only team ranked ahead of us now that played a better opponent, and we dropped. And it's just irritating. We play that well, just absolutely run Cincinnati out of the stadium and shut them out and drop. That just irritates me.
It is ridiculous. The network did a story on this and has Ohio State in the rankings underrated at number 6. I think I agree with that. This stuff will work itself out. I do think your point that Cincinnati was a reasonable opponent is going to end up working in their favor in the long run too, because Cincinnati will go out and win a bunch of games here and put forth their best effort, and that will help marketing for the Buckeyes going forward. Do you feel like you've learned anything about the Buckeyes so far? Only 2 games, small sample size, 2 completely different types of opponents, 2 kind of different results too. your vibe on, do you think you've learned anything for sure about the team?
Well, this is Ryan Day's team. There's no doubt about that. Some of the things that had gotten, I would call it stale under Urban Meyer, just running the same stuff over and over again because you can just out-athlete people. Ryan Day's mixing it up. We're seeing stuff. Game one, we threw to the tight end. I don't know what happened in this game. You know, maybe it's just it wasn't there. But we've seen a general mix, and you're like, oh, I didn't see that before. Wow, I didn't see that before. And just the guy is not letting teams settle in, letting defenses settle in and say, well, we know they're going to do this, we know they're going to do that. Well, that would be a mistake from what we've seen from Day so far, getting predictable. So that is one thing. We really did get a nice quarterback in Justin Fields. I mean, I asked in the long view after the game, has he made a bad decision? I can't remember where he has. He's not taken off before he went through his reads. He's not forced the ball into traffic. And one thing that I love is the guy is just so athletic. Once he gets out of the pocket, he's a problem. But he's not taking shots. He's getting down. He's getting everything he can, and he's getting on the ground or getting out of bounds. Can't have him getting hurt. So that's another thing that we've learned is where our quarterback's playing really smart, really heady football. And you have to look at how the defense is playing. My goodness. Just go out and get these elite athletes and tell them, you know, you want to be gap sound, but run to the football. Get to the football. And that's what they're doing. I read up on Madison when he first came on, you know, go and look at how he likes to run his defenses. And it's just attack the line of scrimmage on first and second down, try to force third and long, and then go after the quarterback. And that's what he's done, especially the Cincinnati game. It was textbook example of how Madison wants his defense to play is, you know, stuff to run, and then on third down get to the quarterback, and that's what they've done.
I couldn't agree with you more. I'm a little bit surprised with just how good Fields is, his demeanor, having the chance to be there in person the other day. He's very calm, doesn't look rattled at all, does not get happy feet. It's almost like he knows he's such a good athlete that the last second he can always bust out, and then that first tackle is just not getting him. When he picks up speed in the open field, he is a load. It's like trying to tackle a tight end. Excuse me. The other thing that I noticed being there, the team is decidedly unchaotic on the sideline. There wasn't a lot of screaming and yelling and freaking out and, you know, highs and lows. It just seemed like a very disciplined group where you get out and get their shit done. So, all right, how about from a national perspective? I think coming into the season or every season, we expect Ohio State to be a national championship contender. But they've obviously done that. They've obviously got to have Justin Fields in the Heisman Trophy chatter long-term. Have you figured out anything else about the rest of the country? Any other teams jump out and surprise you? Any other teams show they are legit playoff contenders that you didn't expect?
Well, I haven't seen, you know, a couple of the top-ranked teams, Alabama and Georgia. Haven't had the opportunity to watch a game. So I don't know. What I've seen is I've seen three teams that stand out to me, Ohio State, Clemson, and LSU. That was a very impressive win by LSU. Joe Burrow played great. LSU's got a nice defense. I think that that they deserve to be in the you know, in a possible playoff contention. I don't know if Alabama and Georgia do. We'll see. I need to see them on the field before I can make that determination. The other thing that is standing out to me, I stayed up and watched USC and Stanford Saturday night. How poor the Pac-12 is, just it amazes me. Every school out there should be able to be a top 20 contender just recruiting California. And none of they're just I was watching this and I was like, are you kidding me? This is the best you can put on a football field, this right here. I just the Pac-12 just I don't understand what's going on out there. USC and UCLA should be what they were back in the days of John Robinson, you know, just perennial contenders, just recruiting their home state. The number of athletes they have out there. Ohio State's going out there and plucking players. It's just ridiculous that USC and UCLA are not, they're just, UCLA, I think they lost to San Diego State this weekend. So it's just bad out there, and it doesn't look like it's going to get any better anytime soon.
Those are some swanky coaching jobs, too, so you can expect that to be in the mix. The one thing that jumped out to me about USC, I watched the same game, was the one player they had that kicked ass was Jay Tufelli, who I wish would have been a Buckeye. We appreciate Dwayne stopping by. We are excited Reed Carrico has joined the fold. Have a good one, Bucknutters.